And hello again. This is the Sabbatarianism Podcast, a podcast for Sabbatarians by Sabbatarians. My name is Justin. I am the host. This is episode 34. And I have back with me my good friend, Mr. Richard Davis. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Justin.
All right. So in episode 34 today, we're going to talk about agape. And agape is a topic that's been talked about a lot in the Sabbatarianism community, in the Sabbatarian community. But I think it really ties in with the last paper that we did of yours, The Prophecy of the Barren Wife. I see that an absolute connection between the two.
Yes.
And so I wanted to do this next. We're really going to follow notes of a message that I gave a couple years ago down at the feast, or actually it was down for me back then, but now it would be considered up from here.
If you're going north or south. Downhill or uphill.
Right. But anyway, so let's explore this topic of agape, and I'll kind of go over these notes with you and you ask you for comment along the way. But the first thing that I think we really need to cover for this topic is the different types of love that are in the Greek. So there's actually four. I've heard there's five, but the four that are used in the Bible, the first one is eros, which is E-R-O-S, which is sensual or romantic love, a love between a man and a woman. And then there's storge, which is love between a family, like familial love. And then there's filio or filia, which is brotherly love, just love like we have here at our congregation, and hopefully everybody out there has at their congregation, is love for their brothers and sisters in the congregation. And then there's this advanced thing called agape, which is godly love. And that's, to me, and what I said that at the feast that year was, I think this is one of the most important concepts to understand in the entirety of the Bible. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with it very much. That's something that is not inherent within human beings. That's what was in the tree of life. That's what the Holy Spirit brings to you. It's not carnal. It comes from a higher spirit.
In other words, you can't achieve it without the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Not truly.
Right. You can have eros, you can have philia, you can have, or philio, you can have the others, but you're not going to get to agape without the Holy Spirit in you, or at least leading you substantially. Do you think before the Holy Spirit was indwelt, so Old Testament, before Messiah, that people could reach agape then? Such as David or Noah or some of the other great, Abraham.
Yes, they obviously did, because Hebrews 11 and 12 lists some of those back then who did, because God reached down and used them and put his spirit within them. You even have a record of those like Jeremiah who and John the Baptist who had that put upon them to a degree while they were still in the womb. Mm-hmm. We can't put boundaries on what God can do with anyone at any time. But as a whole, in order to redeem mankind, according to God's plan, it was only brought in and made available to mankind as a whole, according to God's will, through the sacrifice of Christ.
Okay. With the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Once the Holy Spirit is there, then you can develop this godly type love.
Yes, well, you know, the Holy Spirit does a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have those that look, that the men, that King Saul had the Spirit, was given God's Spirit in order to fulfill the role of a king. It was taken from him.
Long before he was ousted,
yeah,
it was taken from him.
On the day that David was anointed king.
Yeah.
By Samuel, it was taken from Saul. He was no longer operating in that way, but that has nothing to do with salvation.
Okay.
It was God's Spirit working in someone, giving them certain capacities and abilities to rule or to do things in the right way. Even the people who built the tabernacle, it said the Spirit gave mm-hmm. them the ability to do those, to create things with their hands that other humans couldn't do. So we can't limit what God does by that. You and I can't say where he has used it. He uses it wherever he will. But a human being who doesn't have more than a carnal spirit doesn't have agape love.
Okay.
Yeah, that's made pretty clear by Paul in Romans. I think Romans 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, by him saying you are in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, if you're not, you're in a covenant or a life of the flesh. That can include philia or all the rest of the kinds mm-hmm. of love. But they're self-oriented, they're carnal-oriented, they have to do with the physical mind. Whereas the other spirit, the higher spirit of God, if you read these things, for instance, we'll probably go through this in 1 Corinthians 13, what is called the love chapter.
Yep.
That's things that are not appealing to the flesh.
Well, and they're action.
Yes.
They're not like an emotion or a feeling. It's action.
It's a matter of what you would call character.
Yeah.
See, that's what's wrong with marriage today. The reason marriage has crumbled and come down. You can find all kind of books that tell you how to find the right mate, and it's always finding somebody who is selfishly fits your selfishness.
Makes you feel a certain way.
Yeah, makes you happy.
Yeah.
You make them happy, they make you happy.
But not all the time.
Like a man, and the more less they do, the less chance you have of staying together because you're two selfish humans. And that's really what's being taught there. And tragically, that's the way it is. Where in time past, even marriage was recognized as a moral union where there were certain rules and laws required by God, and you were to adhere to them, even if it meant you weren't happy all the time.
Dare I say, you're entering into a covenant.
Yeah, that's right.
Marriage was a covenant, not an agreement, let's be happy together.
And it requires patience.
Yeah.
It requires all sorts of things that don't fit your fleshly convenience and pleasure.
Worrying about the other person's well-being and happiness more than your own.
Than your own. See, that's not...
That's not natural.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And like I've told a few people, if they're trying to find a right mate, find somebody that has character.
Yeah.
Forget about being happy. You're not going to be happy all your life. Nobody ever is. Get used to it. Find someone who has good character.
Good heart.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, in this message I gave, I opened up talking about in John 21, which is at the end of John, Messiah has an interaction with Peter, and I'm going to read this from the NIV. It's a very common thing, Peter, do you love me, and all that, but I'm going to translate the words love into their Greek so that we can understand this better. So John 21, starting in verse 15 from the NIV. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agape me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I filio you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I filio you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you filio me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked the third time, do you filio me? This is how the NIV translate this a little better, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I filio you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, when it's all just translated as love, you don't get this interaction, right? And I think part of it was before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. He went through three times. That's what I had always thought this interaction was about. And I still think that it was about that. But also, I think there's more here when we dig into the words translated, where Messiah keeps asking him, can you agape me? And Peter basically says, no, you know I filio you. I have brotherly love for you, but I don't have the godly love for you at this point. That's the way I'm seeing this interaction when it's translated properly. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that sounds reasonable.
Okay. That was easy.
Yeah.
Just and right. We like that. Well, anyway, I just have always found that fascinating. Somebody had translated that like that for me one time, and I just found the interaction fascinating. I'm going to move on to John 13 and start in verse 34. So now I am giving you, again, this is red letters. This is Messiah talking. So now I am giving you a new commandment, agape each other. Just as I have agaped you, you should agape each other. Your agape for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So the thing I asked at the feast there was, is Messiah not saying here for him to consider you his disciple, his follower, you have to achieve this agape that we're talking about today? Would you concur with that?
Yes. It says, by this, all will know that you're my disciples, if you have agape, godly love, in the same manner that Christ did by giving up your life for your brother, in the same way that he did for you. That's a sign of a true Christian. That's what Paul calls the cross of Christ.
Okay.
It's not two sticks nailed at right angles to each other. It means even giving up your life, even to death, but it's not just giving your physical life, giving up your physical life, it's giving up of your time, giving up your
desires.
Your life.
Your desires are
put to the
bottom.
Well, you would like to have the time that you would use on yourself. It means self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
Is a good way of putting that.
Sacrificing the things that you want for the betterment of others.
That's right.
And Paul considered it to be an honor to die for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have agape to get to that.
That's right, because that's not the carnal man.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so I want to move on. The big two chapters or two parts of the Bible that really get into agape is 1 John 4 and 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to hop around just a little bit here. I'm going to start in 1 John 4 and just read a little bit. This is how God showed his agape among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is agape. Not that we agaped God, but he agaped us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, Paul gives another kind of a second witness to this in Romans. And this is in Romans 5, and I'm going to start in verse 7. And this time I'm going to read from your favorite translation, Richard, the New Living Translation. Richard's not a fan of the New Living Translation because it does take some...
Well, in a lot of places, it's an interpretation and not a translation.
But in some parts of it, it's a good interpretation, and it really brings out the meaning, and that's what I kind of found here. So, Romans 5 and verse 7. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great agape for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were sinners. And I think that's a really important statement, that what he's saying here, what Paul's saying here is this is how God showed agape to us, that he would send his Son, and his Son would choose to come even though we were sinners, even though we hadn't obeyed him. We weren't doing what he wanted, but even in that state, he still did it. And that represents what agape is.
Yes.
Okay. So I think that 1 Corinthians 13, how it opens up, is what really triggered me in that agape is really that important. Like I said, one of the most, if not the most important concept in the Bible. So I'm going to read this from the NIV, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. If I speak in tongues, in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have agape, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have agape, I am nothing. And verse 3. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't agape others, I would have gained nothing. And then several times since that feast, I've translated into Sabbatarian thinking. So, if I never ate pork, if I attended a congregation every Sabbath, if I went to every feast, if I kept every law perfectly, without agape, all of that was for nothing. Can you agree with that?
Absolutely. It's just self-righteousness.
Right. It's just adherence to the law, which was never about justification, sanctification, right?
That's right. So that tells you that in order for true agape to be the motivation for these things, it's got to be a change in the internal man.
Right.
That's not normal. It's not natural. It's not within the carnal man naturally.
And it comes from the Holy Spirit,
yes.
And it's because of the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't relieve you of responsibilities as a man either. You have to make some changes in yourself. The Holy Spirit is the one guiding and responsible for it, and you can't do it alone. But you have some things that you've got to work on too, and help in the process. You can't just say, well, the Holy Spirit's going to take over and now I don't have to worry about anything. You have things to do as well.
Let me throw in a passage right there.
Please.
Let's go back to 1 John.
Yep.
And go to the end of chapter 3. Remember Christ on the night before he was crucified, when he gave that sign, he said, you will abide in my agape, if you keep my commandments.
So you will live in my love by keeping my commandments.
You will continue in it. And let's pick up 1 John, because John, the same guy, wrote this.
He was
here,
there.
3, chapter 22. And whatever we, I mean, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides, there it is, in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So Christ is in us by that Spirit. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out to the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Okay, that's part of it, but there's something else I wanted to get at. Let me find it here.
Sure. Really, the entire book of 1 John is just a wonderful book.
To begin on chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love or agape the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. It's a process. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him, Christ, purifies himself just as he, Christ, is pure. So it's a symbiotic relationship. It takes our effort as well.
Right.
And then he clarifies it by saying, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And I think the original King James said, whoever sins transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of God's laws. Okay?
Yeah.
And you know that he has manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. So whoever abides in him does not, practice sin. We don't go around sinning. Whoever sins or does that has neither seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins or practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. That's like Paul said back in his letter to the Galatians. We are not justified by him. If we are justified by Christ, we do not make him the ministers of sin if we continue in our old ways. We can't do that.
Right. There has to be a change.
Yeah, there's got to be a change, and it takes us working with it. And that's not us earning salvation. That's just a lie. It's up to us to read what the Bible says the process is and quit blaming or giving names to different ideas that people have. Whatever the Bible says, that's the way it is, and you want to call it what you want to call it, who cares?
Well, in the first part of Revelation, through as it goes through the churches, it says the overcomers, the overcomers,
yes.
The overcomers. What are they overcoming? They're overcoming their flesh.
Their own carnal nature,
right,
yes.
Right. All right, well, why don't we just keep going here with 1 John? You want to pick up maybe 1 John 4 and verse 7?
All right, let me get back to it.
Sure. And every instance where the word love is used here, I've looked it up. Every one of them is agape.
Verse 7, 1 John 4, beloved, let us agape one another, for agape is of God, and everyone who agapes is born of God and knows God. He who does not agape does not know God.
Here's that's big real statement. Simple. Yeah, this next one.
For God is agape.
That's a big statement.
That comes from the Holy Spirit. Unless Christ is in you through the Holy Spirit, you don't have that. You can't have that. In this, the agape of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is agape, now that we agape God, not that we agape God, but that he agaped us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us or agaped us, we also ought to agape one another. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 helps shed the light on what agape is as compared to the human self-centered love. It's not about being happy.
Yeah.
It's about long-suffering.
And worrying about others above yourself.
Enduring.
Yeah.
Much.
And it's action.
Yes. It's action, but it's character.
Yeah.
That's what you would call it.
Godly character.
By this chapter, verse 13, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the agape that God has for us. God is agape, and he who abides in agape abides in God, and God in him. Agape has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in agape, but perfect agape casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We agape him because he first agaped us.
Let's go back to the fear statement here, because I see a lot of fear in the world today.
Yes, the governments of the world use fear.
And so does the media. The media is just nonstop fear.
Fear.
Absolutely.
To sell you things, to manipulate you into doing things, to keep power over you, and to keep power for themselves, and keep people warring and killing each other.
Right. And arguing over doubtful disputations and all kinds of silly stuff.
Yeah.
But that's a big one for me, for us as a community of Sabbatarians. I think we've got to get away from all this fear.
Yeah. I shut it off. I'll go to where I don't want to hear what's on it. On the airwaves.
Yeah, there's nothing good out there. And having knowledge of what's going on in the world has never benefited me in any way. All it has ever done is caused me fear.
Yeah. Too often, yes.
Yep. All right, we want to switch over to 1 Corinthians 13 here.
Okay.
All right, so I read through chapter 3. If you want to pick up there in verse 4. Yeah.
Agape suffers long and is kind. Well, that's not happy. Long suffering.
Yeah.
And is kind. Agape does not envy. Agape does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Does that sound like pleasure?
No. It sounds like realism.
That doesn't sound like happy, happy, happy. That sounds like self-control and character that is rooted in a defined spiritual morality.
It sounds like somebody that's overcome their...
Themselves.
Themselves, yes. their natural way.
That's agape. Agape never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away.
What's he saying there, Richard?
Okay, our knowledge and what we have here and now is only temporary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Solomon saw this in the book of Ecclesiastes. Everything we look to, we trust in, our carnal nature reacts to normally. Eventually, that's not going to be there anymore.
It's all vanity. Is what
yes, it's
there.
All vanity, vexation of spirit. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. We only see the attributes and the things of God and his plan very vaguely. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has in store for those who love him. But then, when we meet him, we'll see it face to face. Now, I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also now am known. I'll know him and see him the way he sees me.
Okay.
And now abides. This is a profound statement. Faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love, or agape.
So now live in faith, live in hope, and live in agape. That's what he's saying.
Yes, but it's even deeper than that. I think what he's saying here is these three things exist in the human being, the spirit. You have what you believe in. That's your faith. Everybody has something. What you hope for? Where is this life headed for? What are you living for today? What you hope for tomorrow? And love. That's the spirit that drives these, that drives you on. It's like an energy. An automobile is made up of a chassis,
Mm-hmm.
An engine, and then that energy that drives it. That's all it is. The rest of it's superfluous. Take a platform, put your drivetrain and your engine on there.
And hold on tight.
And hold on tight. Steering wheel. And, yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Windows, doors, hood, all these things around can change, be modified. But this is the basic driving engine of the inner man. What do you believe? What is your faith in? And why?
And where did your faith come from? And where did your hope come from?
Yes. It all comes from the love of God.
Right.
That's the source of all of it, whether carnal or spiritual.
And conversely, where does worldly hope come from? Hope in the world and hope in the things of this world. And
it comes from the carnal nature. Carnal. It's limited to the carnal nature. But those who have the agape or the love of God have a greater hope. We hope for something better. And we believe in it. And nobody has to prove it to us. We believe it. You know, I used to try to argue these, you hear these articles or see these booklets on proof that God exists. I don't need a proof that God exists. I choose to believe it. Only a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I have no patience in trying to argue with fools.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm not one, but I'm not going to argue with them. I'm not going to try to convince them. God says, trust me and I'll show you.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. And look at what he says the end result will be. You don't want that? You're a fool. Something's wrong with you.
Yeah. If you don't want
that's right.
You eternal don't want life.
Well-being, a good life and well-being and peace in this world and eternal life forever.
With him.
Right.
In his kingdom. Yeah.
And you're willing to trade that and even a hope for that for the chaos of this world that carnal living brings? You're foolish.
Yeah. Well, the thing, we've got a little bit of time here. The thing that I saw, and I don't know if we want to keep extending, you know, maybe take this out into another podcast all on its own, but this fits right in with the prophecy of the barren wife, in that we're making a change in ourselves to go from a bond woman marriage, or actually from a worldly marriage. You're married to the world.
Yes.
And then I think we as Sabbatarians really were married as bond women before that, where we're looking to the law.
And to the Sabbath.
And to the Sabbath.
Some to the holy days.
And adherence to all those things is what would make us the bride of Messiah.
No, it doesn't.
And that's an error.
That's right.
What that paper showed me in absolute detail.
Don't put those things where the love of God is.
Right.
Don't try to put your drivetrain where the engine is. I mean, not engine, but where the fuel is. It's the fuel. And don't try to build it. This is what Christ was talking about in his principle, if you build on sand, it will eventually, your building will collapse eventually. Build it on a solid rock, on the right things. You know, a marriage that's built upon these things that 1 Corinthians talks about truly will last and endure. It's because it's not built upon happiness.
Or built on, you do this for me, and I will do that for you. And
yes,
if you do this, you're going to get punished, and you don't want that, so you got to do what's right.
That is meant to confine people
into a code of
behavior because they don't have it within themselves.
Right.
Anybody's tried to discipline unruly children should know that.
Yep.
You don't need that with a child that loves you.
They desire to obey you.
Yep. All you got to do is to speak to them.
Yeah.
And help them to understand and grow, and they'll accept that.
So the the bride of Messiah, the free woman from the prophecy of the barren wife, the free woman that
yes,
that follows him wherever he goes, the 144,000 in the book of Revelation, that love him and keep his commandments, do that out of the agape that they have in their heart for him.
That's right. That's the only way they can.
Yeah.
If not for that, they wouldn't be able to, or wouldn't desire to.
They wouldn't be able to overcome the desires of their flesh and their worldly desires in order to truly follow him and serve him in a righteous manner without the Holy Spirit and without agape in their heart.
Absolutely. And I tend to agree with Paul. It's hard enough once you do have agape.
Yes.
Yeah. But if you don't have that, then you don't have any desire.
You got no chance.
You just want something that fits your selfishness.
Yeah.
And most of these self-help books that have to do with finding a mate that's compatible with you are based upon that philosophy. Find one that's selfish, whose selfishness
is compatible with your
selfishness. With your selfishness, yeah. Yes. And that's not peace. There's no peace in that, and there's no eternity in that. It's going to last only so long. And character is what's needed.
Yeah.
Which comes from the love of God.
And this agape that we're discussing today, that's what the marriage of the Messiah to his bride is based in.
Yes, it is.
That's where it comes from.
That flow from him to her, or to us, if we're part of that,
mm-hmm.
He talked about that flowing from him to us.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, to God the Father. Yep. And we're all in unity, or in one.
Right.
Whereas in Galatians there, he said, for a mediator is not of unity, or not of one. It doesn't have anything to do with one. It's about negotiating differences.
Terms of our covenant.
Yeah, and to deal with the fact that you're not one, is what he means.
And yeah.
That won't get you beyond this world.
Yeah. All right, anything else you want to offer on this subject or on how this fits in with the prophecy of the barren wife?
Not right at this point.
Okay.
We'll talk further about some other things and, you know, I just don't have anything prepared off the top of my head, but I know there are a lot of other things. I'd like to pretty soon go through a list of the characteristics that we're told the bride of Christ, who is the free woman, will have when she appears.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yes.
I'd really like to do that.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, we can tie that in when we do that.
Okay. Well, this has been episode 34, and we thank you for listening today. We will be back soon, and talk to you later. Bye-bye.